Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And it's time for
Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Unspun.
We're all getting together in a beautiful way.
We just get along.
Coming together like this. Are we talking about the bonding on the right?
The must-do bonding when we're looking at the polls for the BC United and BC and the Conservatives, the BC Conservatives versus the NDP combined. BC United and BC Conservatives can beat the NDP based on the current polling.
Right.
Not combined, they can't. So
right.
There's so many rumors going on. So many rumors.
Let's start with the current provincial vote intention, just so that because we're nerdy, right? So there's this new abacus poll. We've got the numbers. We're looking at the numbers. So the current provincial vote intention, 40% of British Columbians would vote NDP, 34% would vote BC Conservative, 13% would vote BC United, so former BC Liberals, and 10% would vote for the Greens. So as it is right now, the NDP with 40% of the vote. But doing the math, as you were pointing out, George, you take United and Conservative and you push those numbers together and all of a sudden you have 47%. So
writing by writing breakdown, we haven't got that kind of detail. So it's not good for the NDP, but also not good for BC United, that's for sure.
And everything blew up yesterday afternoon.
Oh my
God. And it's something that had sort of been floated in the Vancouver Sun previously, saying that the federal level political parties had been reaching out to Brad West, and why wouldn't they? His popularity is off the charts. But the big rumor hit, Global came with it. CKNW and Richard Zussman were the first ones that I saw out there with. We are hearing that Brad West is being courted by both the BC Conservatives as well as BC United Party to be their new leader, which like, kaboom!
Make no sense.
Wow.
And then there's also this rumor earlier in the day about Gordon Campbell trying to broker a deal with the two parties, you know, come bring these guys together. And then there was a tweet that you managed to screen grab from John Rustad, the leader of the BC Conservatives, which was like this, no way gonna, I did this together grassroots and I'm staying in this job kind of thing, right? I mean, it was...
He deleted it. Do you want me to read it to you?
For those people who haven't seen it, and it's kind of, that's probably the real way he feels. But somebody told him to delete it because they're probably in negotiation.
Well, I actually spoke with Brad West.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll tell you that at the end. Okay. He's a friend of mine. Politically, aside from politics, he and I are friends. So this was John Rustad's tweet that I was alerted to last evening around 6:07. And by 6:20, it was deleted. Okay. So John Rustad, who's the leader of the BC Conservatives, wrote, after seeing everything blow up about Brad West is being courted to become the new leader and everybody's speculating on what would happen. The leaders would have to step down and merge the party and Brad West would have to take on. I'm like, wow. John Rustad said, and I'm quoting, I've worked jobs, including cutting down trees, fighting wildfires, and running a small technology business in the resource sector. I never expected to be a politician, and I certainly never expected to lead a party, but I was pissed off with the status quo, and I've never been the type of person to just give up and walk away. The truth is, I'm not who downtown Victoria and Vancouver consultants want to be premier. I'm not a wealthy lawyer or a hotshot suburban mayor. I'm a small business guy from the north, and I have the chainsaw scars to prove it. When I joined the Conservative Party of BC, we were the last place party, and now we're first place in many polls. And hold on.
Kicker.
And I tried to come to the table months ago when the BC United, and the Conservatives were evenly matched in the polls, so we would have the best chance of defeating the NDP. The answer we got was F off, and he wrote the full words.
Nice.
So we worked even harder to build our party up and defeat the NDP on our own. We built this party with hard work, piece by piece. Now people want to jump into the driver's seat and kick out our grassroots. Not going to happen. I've promised thousands of British Columbians and our thousands of grassroots members who took the initiative to sign themselves up to lead this party through the next election. I intend to keep my word. I hope Brad West decides to join our team. We've had months of discussions and we kept the riding open for him. He told us he wants to beat the NDP and that he wants the top job down the road. I hope he's willing to earn it.
So much doesn't make sense, and so much does make sense. So let me just quickly, if I can.
Unspin it. I'll sit back here with COVID and listen.
First, there's the first comment related to that sort of, you know, old boys club that exists. And I certainly had, I'm a small business owner. I got a sense of that when I was in, you know, there was a lot of people who were definitely were making it clear to me that there was no way they wanted me to ever run for mayor. Because I wasn't part of any group and I came from nowhere and I was a suburban kid, you know, I made my way into politics by accident, you know, and I became, you know, quite successful in my minimal role in Vancouver by being in that opposition seat. My choice not to run for mayor was my choice, but there certainly was a lot of people who were saying, don't, and we don't want you to. So I get this, I know how he feels when you're not part of this. There's these clubs kind of thing that exist. And they have their favorite people that they want to have run, and it's very bizarre. Then the other thing is it's such a microcosm of what happened in Vancouver for so long, and partly why Vision Vancouver was in power for so long was because the split on the right, these parties couldn't just get their shit together to organize under one banner. And as a result, we had Vision in for definitely one term too long, if not two. So, you know, there is this in Vancouver, even there is a right leaning element that pretty much dominates the numbers. That's why NPA was in power for 80 years over the last 100, because there is the dominant force here. And most of the voters here are right of center, right of center.
Can I just pop in on what right of center used to mean versus what it currently means? Because I think that's really important. Because there were people that were fiscally conservative and socially responsible right. that could identify a right of center. And right of center now is, I'm not paying for any of those woke leftist blah, 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 fill in the blanks and anti-women's rights and anti, you know, choice and LGBTQ2+. Like there's a lot of ugly that has become associated with center right. So continue.
Yeah. And that was certainly the case in Vancouver with some parties. And even the party that I was a part of, I started getting leaning towards that. And they certainly were trying to encourage me to lean that way. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Right. Which is why you were successful, because you would be like, I'm not going to take on the ideals of something to grab a base over there.
Right. And I think I was similar to Brad West, right? I had no alignment to, I'd never been a member of a party prior to me joining the NPA ever in my life. I'd never joined a political party before ever. So you could try and pigeonhole me as some other part of another party or the BC. I did join the BC Liberals after I got into the NPA.
Well, you ran for them.
I ran for them, but you know, but I get where Brad West is coming from right now, because he's discouraged and you sort of look around going, okay, what's the opportunity? He has a clear history with the NDP and certainly the union movement because of his background and his work. So I'm going to hand it over to you now. And I do just on the one final point there. I mean, dude, you know, John Russell's going, dude, I busted my butt here and you just going to come in here and think you can take my job? No way. And I'm sure Kevin Falcon saying the same thing. You go, move aside, John. I'll take over the Conservatives now, which is kind of what Gordon Campbell did with the BC Liberals. He kind of went there and he said, bye-bye, Wilson, you're out. I'm in.
Yeah.
And it became very complicated situation. So, over to you on what you know about Brad West, because I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I just don't see it happening. I think it's just rumor and just it's nice for his ego. But he has also made it very clear for quite a long time that he's sticking around as mayor for now. And he said that many times. So what do you know?
Well, I know a couple of the really important unspun piece of this that I think is hilarious is that I texted Brad like right away when I saw the first tweet move, because I've been feeling under the weather, back to my COVID. So I was active on social media.
Burying the lead.
I'll tell you later. Anyway, but I saw it move. So I texted him. We share numbers because we talk about things not at all associated with politics. We often talk about family. Mm-hmm. And so I sent him a note basically saying, oh my God, I bet your phone's blowing up right now. And that's all I said. It wasn't like, what's going on? Tell me what's happening, blah, blah, blah. And he got back to me at like 10 o'clock at night and went, oh my God, I just got back from his son's lacrosse game that he was coaching. So he wasn't on his phone. He wasn't even looking at his phone. So can you imagine what he came home to? And that is what the beauty of why people really like him, and frankly, why people really like you, because you're an actual human being living your life while also doing your best for your community, coming from whatever perspective you're coming from. And so I said to him, he said, you're going to understand this. I'm going to put my children first. And I'm like, cool. Like, great. And then I said, what can I say publicly? And he goes, I'm going to say that publicly. So go ahead and say that publicly. And, you know, does he have aspirations greater than being mayor of course he does.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Have they been talking to him? Of course they have. So have the feds. The thing that really, and this has nothing to do with my conversation with Brad, but the thing that struck me was, I don't see somebody like Brad West, as much as he has issue with the policies within the NDP, to come into that big tent party and look around and say, yeah, I'm aligned with all you guys. I don't think that he's jumping into the hot. I don't think he needs to jump into the seat right now. He really doesn't. He can be the premier next time and not have to deal with this messiness. He can save
8 years. He's only 30.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. Next time, after that, whatever. Right. He's got little kids, and this would sweep him up into something that you can't go back and relive these times with your kids. So when he said, I have to put my children and my wife first, I got that, because I've turned down a number of jobs that would have had me not in the home for breakfast or dinner. And I, at the time, was like, you know what? I have a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old. But once, now he's 16 and a half. Give me the jobs. He's yeah. good. You know what I mean? So there is.
That's what he's saying, people, too, by the way. Amanda ran into him at his job, by the way.
He did. He did. Everybody's coming to me. I know. Everybody's coming to me going, is that Afro your kid? I'm like, yes, it is. Anyway, the Brad West piece of this, the second piece of it that I think the unspun part is, this is such a gift to the NDP, because nobody's talking about anything about what's right or wrong, or mostly wrong, like what the opposition would come guns a-blazing. Now it looks like more infighting, more divisiveness. Yes. No, it's not going to happen. You know, throwing back the
desperation. Desperation. We'll even go to an NDP or to help us save this right-wing coalition. It's no sense. I can only imagine those, and you see the tweets and stuff out there, the X's or whatever we're calling them, sort of commenting on that, going, hello, I don't want that guy as my candidate for the Conservatives or BC United.
Well, can you see Brad West standing next to Pierre Poilievre going, sure.
No. Never.
I can see Brad West doing many other things. Like you said, he's got his history speaks to where his politics might lie. And he is openly critical of the NDP policies that he disagrees with, or the things that he would do differently. But I don't look at this and think, oh, Brad West is a perfect alignment for the BC Conservatives and the BC United Party. No, I don't.
What it tells you is that he will be the candidate of renewal in next NDP. That's what he's laying the groundwork for that. I mean, it's really smart. Sure. And so he comes back, you know, EB maybe wins another election. Does he run again? Probably not. Or, you know, then it becomes a leadership race. Or if he loses a leadership race, then Brad West is, we're talking, because he'll come in and say, I'm the renewal candidate. There'll be an opposition, you know, it's not as, you know, it's intense, but it's not like being the premier where when you're a young family, you're definitely, you're the mayor of Vancouver. You have to be on all the time. So,
right.
Of course he suits opposition quite well. That's because that's kind of what he's been playing for the last couple of years, several years, not only provincially and locally, but also nationally on many issues.
Really. And he's getting stuff done in his municipality. Like he's getting stuff. Yeah.
There's not
done
that. I mean, this isn't the Brad West fan club, but pragmatic, you know,
local. I am.
I know, it's just pragmatism. There's other mayors doing great work like him too. Just
agreed.
Head down. Let's get the work done. Let's stop playing, you know, big shows. and telling people that we're experts at something we're not experts at, which, speaking of, changing the subject.
Segue. Nice segue. What the heck? I mean, okay, there's a number of things.
Give me the quote, because I forget it. This is the Ken.
Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but basically, that's not my job.
It's not my job. He was being asked about the FIFA World Cup coming to Vancouver, which is, it's what, 500 million, it's going to be 800 million, 700 million, 1 billion, 1.3 billion, it keeps going up. And he's saying, not my job to know the financial, understand the financial. You're like, whoa. And so, of course, immediately attacked, because I believe, I think we all know that one of his campaign, key points was, I'm a CGA, I'm a certified accountant, and I know, if there's one thing I do know, I know numbers, I don't know, we brought in the three of the biggest budget increases in the history of Vancouver in the last, 2 years, but besides that, so he knows how to increase budgets, he's very good at that. So,
but I would also argue that the previous mayor did very little of anything. So when Ken Sim, so I think there's balance to what we're paying for, because I do see some things shifting, but at the same time, I think it's a poor political decision to say that's not my job, when the whole thing was, I will be on top of every dollar spent. Yeah. Like, that's literally what he ran on, which we felt good about.
The answer is twofold. One is, I am absolutely going to be looking into this and trying to find out what's going on wherever I can to alleviate it. It's happening, so we have to come to terms with that. We can't cancel now. But what I will say is, this is going to be an amazing event. Our economy needs it. Our province needs it. It's going to create this infrastructure, yada, yada, yada. Those usual talking points. That's how you answer that kind of question. It's pretty straightforward.
Here's the quote.
They're huge.
He said, quote, "Not my job to crunch numbers." Vancouver mayor says, as experts question FIFA's economic benefit. It's not my job to crunch numbers. Yeah, I would argue it is.
Yes, and that's what, and so what the second part of this thing is, holy smokes. The if you're on Twitter, which is still there, actually, you can really see when there's a movement happening. And immediately a lot, and maybe because they're all going to be out of jobs soon because of NDP, they're all of coming out of the woodwork, all the left of center people, all the people who I remember back in the day with vision, they're all
like
showing
up suddenly. Like
well, Paul Nixie, for one, who's always been vocal on X, and there's a few other ones like that, who are clearly, were big visionistas, and now they're out there and starting to attack Ken Sim and ABC, for various things. And it looks to me very organized. So there's something happening within the left of center parties. I'm guessing spearheaded probably by Andrew Rymer, who now that Christian Boyle will likely be the MLA, we'll see a by-election coming in Vancouver next summer to replace Christian Boyle. Whether or not it's Andrew Rymer, it certainly will be somebody center-left who will probably win, unless I run. Just kidding.
Are we gonna bookmark this episode and say, well, I dropped you an Easter egg on May 16th?
Anyway, so Christine Boyle is gonna be out, and we're gonna have so we'll see what happens in
Vancouver. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cooper's running for the
Interesting. I mean, it's good news for him. He's just in the wrong riding. He has no hope of winning that riding. He's up against Christine Boyle, I believe, right? So he should be running in the Yaletown riding. That's a winnable riding for the Conservatives or the BC United. And it's too bad he chose the wrong riding. Kassan's a good guy. He maybe chose the wrong party too, but not from the polling. So, I just feel like...
I thought he wanted to go spend more time with his grandchildren.
Can't give it up. He loves politics. He's just like...
I know he does. He can't stop. He's like a dog with a bone. John Cooper, good dog. Former park board commissioner, got to mention park board because my much beloved Kitts Pool not opening this long weekend. Unforeseen repairs required, George. Unforeseen.
When does it end?
There's a lot unforeseen about Kitts Pool.
Give me some tar and some and a hot thing, and I'll just go and fix it myself.
Make it happen. Come and fix me.
Well, you know, the park board. We love the park board. I can't imagine a world without the park board. Well,
What would it be like?
I wish it was functioning as it was intended. I'm not anti park board, but I'm definitely anti extra city council that just seems to not get any of the actual jobs that we expect done. Like, why can't we have nice things? Like, why can't we have the fountain in Lost Lagoon? Like, why can't we have the water
feature? They have the money. They got the capital.
But like, why can't we
buy a new fountain? But you don't need the same one. Put a new one in.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. As a kid, we lived on the North Shore. My grandparents lived at the corner of Broadway and Collingwood. And we would come back and forth across the Lionsgate Bridge to visit the grandparents at least once a week, if not twice a week. My mom being a single parent. And we would come around that corner and we'd be like, ooh. Yeah. Wow, when it would go off. Like as kids, I would sit and watch it. Like it was.
And I believe it has a function.
Which it does. Well, that's
oxygenate. Is that a word?
Oxygenate is a word. And it does. Water. And all the fish in that lagoon or that,
Lake Lagoon.
Lake Man-made
Lagoon.
Yeah, but it needs.
Yes. It used to be salt.
Anyway.
Anyways. Yeah. So.
Makes me crazy.
Well, there was other thing in the park board. What was the
And then there's that whole bike lane thing, which is we talked about last week.
We did.
Up as ABC's anti-bike lane.
Okay, is that like? Yeah, but there's a AAA bike lane going in there as part of the plan. Are they ignoring that part?
No, that's great. It's going to have two-way traffic and a AAA bike lane. What is the problem here? It's completely scammy. Left wing push against ABC. It's part of that movement that's happening. So they're looking for anything. So the quote, the bike lane to make ABC look like they don't know what they're doing. So ABC better step it up. I hope they understand what's happening here. It's a movement that's against them. And as soon as they position a leader in place in that position, that role, whoever that might be, and I've said who I think it will be.
Who do you think it'll be?
Andrew Rimer. You're going to have trouble. You have trouble and you can lose after one term. We've seen
the swagger piece only lasts so long, right? Because people aren't as nerdy. That's why Unspun, that's what we do here, is we try and distill down what you should be paying attention to in a spun world, right? Like there are so many sparkly things. It's very hard to keep up with what's the latest headline, who's doing what and how and why. But at the end of the day, how dare they take out our bike lane? It's like, no, they're actually putting a bike lane in there as well as returning the traffic. So we don't have a bunch of cars idling down Denman Street every day.
And so you can get to the pool.
And so you can get to the other pool without driving all the way around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyways. Come on. Hold on.
Oh my Lord. What a week. And let's tell the lead of this today's story. For the first time after 5 years, Jody has managed to pick up the dreaded COVID. How in the heck? What is going on? Where? Who? When?
4 years and 2 months almost to the day.
And you know why you haven't been too cocky about it lately? You know, you used to be so cocky about this and you haven't talked about it lately. So now
that's what it was for sure. You know what's really interesting is I've had a couple people say, "Oh, that sounds like what I've had, but I don't test anymore." Right? The only reason I know and the reason why I test is because I care for my mom and she's in long-term care. I care for my aunt. She's in assisted living. I spent the last, you see on my Instagram, on my social media, see my mom. She looks like she's wearing the same thing. So it looks like the same day. It's not. My mom has Alzheimer's, so moderate Alzheimer's, and one of the things she still does the word scramble and watches CNN and all the things, but she's forgetful, so she needs care because my stepdad passed. But she loves to wear her favorite outfit. She can't remember yesterday she wore it, so she wears it every day. We just make sure we clean the things for her. But I spend a lot of time with my mom. I love her. She's great. I saw her on Monday with my brother, and typically I would have gone on a Tuesday, but I was like, my nose is a bit runny. I think I'll just not. I think I'll just not. And Brady came home from school on Tuesday, not feeling great. We tested him negative. Oh. Then he's got the snot skis and he's coughing like crazy. And then, you know, yesterday I'm like, maybe I am. It was after the Canucks game where I screamed and yelled with the late goal. I thought, oh, my throat's a little sore. And then, yesterday I was going to go see mom again. I thought, maybe not. Maybe not. And I thought, I'm going to do a quick test. And I've done a million of these over the course of COVID because of my parents, because I started with dad in long-term care.
Yeah.
My stepdad through his a terrible battle last summer. And then now with my mom. So I'm used to sticking the thing up my nose. And George, if you could have taped my face, like recorded me last night. So I'm like, da-da-da, la-la-la. I'm like, for sure not. And I'm like, oh, snap. I did not think.
Really?
I had no idea because I thought maybe it's allergies. I mean, the pollen's really high. It's very nasally. Brady's got the cold.
So he doesn't have it.
We tested him 3 more times.
So weird.
Does not have it. Now he's like, stay away from me. I handed him toast this morning. I'm like, he goes, did you wash your hands? Close the door. But I'm isolating away from them. Brian's away. Boys
obsessed about washing hands. Yeah, they go in their bedroom and like, you know, you can clean this place once in a while, guys.
I know. But I, you know, here I am. I have it. I'm going to isolate and I'm going to.
No idea where you, because you've been going to a lot of events. So I guess it could be anywhere, right? Ew. Stop.
Yeah. Sorry. that's my first cough. I have really no idea.
No.
I have no idea, but I've definitely loosened up enough that I'm not surprised because it's still out there just because we've all decided it's over. But as being a fully vaccinated and up-to-date vaccinated, I'm hopeful that it's not going to get, you know, a whole lot worse than what it is now. I'll keep you posted.
Yes, but,
there's news on the COVID front. It's not just all about me. You know, the health mandate, the healthcare workers mandated to get vaccinated, a BC Supreme Court judge ruled day before yesterday or yesterday, that it is not against your human rights to require vaccination in a healthcare setting around vulnerable people. So religious beliefs and your belief that vaccines aren't good for you is not a right to your job in healthcare. I'm paraphrasing. I can actually read the headline. I think that's probably the best way to go here.
Your story exemplifies that about your mom. I mean, that's the point. People are vulnerable, and this is the judge's decision. You can't put other people's lives in danger because of your beliefs. That is not a human right. That is whatever you want to call it, depending on where you stand on the issue. But I think it's a good decision. I think, you know, now the question will be, that doesn't mean that the government can't decide to let them back. But I think clearly this government has said, you're not vaccinated, you don't get your job back.
So, it says vaccine mandates for healthcare workers, reasonable and constitutional, a BC judge rules. So religious and personal beliefs about vaccines do not entitle you to work in a healthcare setting with vulnerable patients whilst unvaccinated, a BC Supreme Court judge has ruled. And I think it's an important ruling, right?
Yeah, really.
Hard to argue that. The ruling been the other way, then, you know, clearly the judge would have received information that would show that it would be safe for those people. It's not. I will not be going to see my mom in the healthcare setting for at least a week. Even if I don't get worse than this and I'm fine by tomorrow, I've never had a fever, all those things.
I don't want to see you for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I won't. No. But no. I will say I'm going to bet they're going to push this to the federal court, to all the way to the top. They got the money.
Yeah.
They're going to push it. They're going to keep pushing it to Supreme Court and see where we go there, because this is a constitutional issue. And I think you'll hear more from it, because it's a big deal. That kind of decision can have big deals in the future, like as far as decision making on people's rights and things. So precedent setting case for sure.
Yeah, it's fascinating just how much we've all collectively been through and how everybody picked a camp and it's been so divisive. I'm hopeful that, I mean, maybe it won't calm down, but, you know.
I mean, the fact that you have COVID is the first, somebody else I know recently had COVID too. And that's the only time now that I kind of hear about it was when somebody gets it. Otherwise, I don't feel like people are talking about it in media. I mean, there's you know,
but people aren't testing anymore either.
Why we care?
I could have easily not tested and just gone about my life.
Yeah, nobody cares.
And then infected people who then would have gotten sick, but it's not going to overwhelm our healthcare system. It's not going to hopefully make average Joe public profoundly ill, where it rips like wildfire through the workplace. Right. So, you know, these are the things that 4 years and 2 months later, we know. And most of us, I don't know if I've had it before. This is the first time I've ever tested positive and known I've had it. I haven't been sick for 4 years. I have tested numerous times when I thought, is that a sniffle? But most people aren't testing.
When people start talking about these decisions that were made, and there's this big, you know, John Rusted wanting to fire Bonnie Henry, you're like, seriously, go back in time somehow, because we didn't know what the hell was going on. Like, come on, no. Nobody could argue. Sure, in hindsight, we could have done this, could have done that, but come on, we're like, didn't know what was happening. We all thought we were going to die. I mean, give me a scenario that's like that ever in over 100 years where we've had to face this. We haven't. International crisis. And everybody kind of had to figure it out and just remember that it was hard for all of us. And we were just navigating as we went along. And it's proven that Bonnie Henry made the right decisions.
Yeah.
A couple of areas, small things, but generally we performed the best in North America.
In North America. And number one of that was really unpopular with some parents and teachers was keeping our kids in school. We are the only jurisdiction, British Columbia is the only jurisdiction in North America who kept schools open as a mother of that kid up there and construction sites. And we were still allowed to go outside and were encouraged to go out and walk around and do the things where they were shutting down parks in Toronto. Like, I would have lost my mind in Toronto. I would have lost my mind in New York. I'm very grateful for Dr. Henry following the science as she did. And was the science imperfect at times? Absolutely. We had no idea what we were dealing with. And people who look back with hindsight and want to pretend that they know better, it's like, oh, please. Oh, please.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. No.
Anyway, I've got it. And hopefully this will make my summer. Thank you.
I've only had it once. Had it the same amount of times now. So congratulations.
Didn't you have it? You had it in Europe, right? You had it? No, in the UK.
Just before we went to last year or 2 years ago, about this time 2 years ago.
Right. So, gotcha.
Yeah. It was good that I got it right before we went to Peru, and they were quite a further behind us. And so having had it made me much more immune to what was happening down there. So
that's what I'm looking forward to all summer long. I'm partying like it's 2019.
Sorry, 2019. That would be right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Remember when 2019, we were like, oh, I can't wait for 2019 to be over.
Right? Jesus. Okay, before we go, we got like 2 minutes to go here. Donald Trump trial, all that, anything that you're looking at that you're like, what?
I just don't think Michael Cohen's going to, they were relying on him for the entire, the case rests on him. He apparently did a good job in court, but I just don't think that the jury's going to rely on him as their only reason. I think Trump will get off. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Wild. And the debate with Joe Biden, that two debates now planned.
Maybe three.
One for June. Yeah, one for June and one September, right? June 26th and September 10th, I think, or June 29th. Anyway.
There's another one with Fox only. He's there, right?
Right. Okay, whatever. Because I think he's looking for one where Joe Biden will say no to, and then he'll say, fine, I'm not doing any of them, right?
Yeah, good point. Nice speaking.
Anyway.
It's fun. On that note,
peace out. Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks.